You can go to 2 Timothy. One of the things in manifestations, I don't remember exactly how it was phrased, but it was to the point where God always wants to bless us. And in 2 Timothy, we were taught years ago and continue to teach that the purpose of the word is given here. But there are many purposes of the word, and they communicate God's purposes, right? And God's overall purpose from the fall of man on was to save mankind. And the whole purpose of Jesus Christ coming, you know, was to save mankind. Years ago, we did two camps where we taught on Jesus Christ. And in the back of the syllabus was a appendix on the purposes of Jesus Christ. And I think it filled up 4 pages as we, you know, discovered and looked at things. Because, you know, of course, God sent his only begotten son to, what, save the world, right? But there's other things. He declared himself in Luke 4. He came to heal the sick and the blind and people in bondage to free them and all that stuff. And you go through in different places, you know, the purposes of Jesus Christ. Well, the purposes of Jesus Christ were set by who? God. God gave him his purpose. He carried out God's purposes. In 2 Timothy, it's in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all scripture, which means all scripture from what? Beginning to end, is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, you know, everything in the Word of God does those 3 things. Now, sometimes if you read doctrine and you've been doing something dopey, it could be reproof, right? Or you could read something and you realize, oh, I have to do it this way, and it could be correction. But all scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction. And then it says that, or so that, and a lot of times when you read in context the word that, it describes a purpose. That's why we were taught this is the purpose of God's word. And it says that the man of God may be perfect or equipped, throughly furnished, or throughly or completely and totally equipped unto all good works. And we were taught anytime we stand for God or speak for God, then we become that man or woman of God. So that is a great purpose of God's word. But there are many purposes in God's word. But his overall purpose in the very beginning was to save mankind, and then once you're saved, to bless you. We heard that in the manifestations. He always wants to bless us. He always wants to help us. He wants to equip us so that we can carry out his will and his purposes. So let's go to Philippians chapter 1. And verse 8. It says, for God is my record. And the word record means witness. God is my witness. How greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. So Paul is writing this to these people, these believers at Philippians. And he says, God's my witness, how I care for you, I have compassion for you. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. See, and here's the purpose for this. You know, I pray that your love may abound in all knowledge and judgment, or discernment is the word judgment, that the purpose being that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. So that's a purpose of God and of God's word, that we be filled with all the fruits of righteousness by Jesus Christ. What a great thing. we know that fruit is what? It's something that we produce in our life. When you have a good fruit tree, it produces what? Good fruit. When it's a bad tree, it doesn't produce any fruit, or the fruit is rotten, which happens occasionally, I guess. You get a bad tree. So that's God's thing, that your love may abound or may be over and above in knowledge, that you learn the word. You learn, when we learn God's word, we learn what? We learn his will. When we learn his will, we learn his purposes, the reasons that he does things or what he wants. This word knowledge is epigenosis, which means a clear and exact knowledge, and expresses more through participation on the part of, and has a powerful influence on the one who knows. So, and then in verse 10, so that, and that shows us the purpose, so that, the reason, that you may prove, or you may test and verify as genuine, what is valuable. And then further, so that, for the purpose that ye may be genuine and without offense until the day of the Lord, when he comes back, that you will be filled with the fruit of righteousness. So the purpose of God's word are many, but they all are ultimately to bring about God's will and to glorify him. That's the real purpose, right? In you go to Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 12, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. God wraps up everything about life and the purpose of life in one verse. How about that? How about that ability to be succinct and to the point? He goes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And the context of the chapter is life from birth to death. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter of all of life. Fear God, respect God, be in awe of God, and keep his commandments or his word. For this is what? Whole duty of man. That's our purpose. That's our true purpose in life, to serve God, to respect him, and keep his commandments. How simple could it be? We make life so complicated, and God makes it so simple. Let's go to Jeremiah 36. Now, you know, you can read through the Old Testament, and you can get really confused at times because it talks about God's anger or wrath. It talks about people suffering consequences of their sins, people dying, all kinds of crazy stuff. But you always have to keep in mind a couple of truths about God. And those truths are that God is always a just and merciful God. And also that his ultimate goal is to save mankind and to bless them. You know, that's his goal. That's his purpose. That's what he wants to do. In chapter 36 of Jeremiah, did I tell you chapter 36?
Yes.
Okay, good. Israel, the kingdom of Israel, for their whole existence, didn't honor God. You know, the majority of people, probably 95% of them, never honored God. And their kings were horrible. And of course, whatever way the king went, the people went. And so there was this king here, and it says in verse 1, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, that his word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying. So here's this king Jehoiakim, and he's the son of Josiah. And if you go back and read about Josiah, Josiah was a wonderful, incredible man who loved God, and he was king. And this is the kingdom of Judah here. See, Israel was always bad, but Judah went up and down. When they had a good king, they were great. When they had a bad king, they were bad. So under Josiah, It says there's a verse in about Josiah. It said, nobody ever turned back to God with their whole heart like Josiah. Wow, that's pretty cool, huh? Mm-hmm. That's quite a statement. And he tore down all the high places. He got rid of all the false prophets, all the idols. He ground them up and he burned them and all kinds of stuff. But his son was a jerk. Jehoiakim. And he turned his back on God. So God writes to or talks to Jeremiah and he says, take thee a roll of a book, which means a scroll, right? And write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, meaning and against Judah, you know, because Israel and Judah now were both rotten. Israel was rotten pretty much all the time. Judah was rotten some of the time. But at this point in their history, they were both not doing well. And against all the nations from the day I spake it unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that, here's the purpose, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. See, that was his purpose. It wasn't his purpose to punish them, but he was sending this prophecy to them to save them, you know, to help them, to deliver them. And what did they do? They rejected it. You know, he took the scroll to the king and the king cut it up with a knife and burned it. And so then God gave Jeremiah the same words to write down a second time. Pretty wild. So, but what was the purpose of this? Whoa. It was to forgive their iniquities and their sin so that God could do what? Bless them. Because throughout the Old Testament, he continually would remind them and say, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my statutes, if you keep my law, you're going to be blessed. You're going to prosper. You're going to do whatever I can for you. But if you turn your back on me, you're going to suffer consequences. So that's what happened. So God's purposes and purpose is always just, always merciful, always loving. And it's always to try to help people, to bring them back so that they can be blessed, so that he can bless them. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Now, the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament obviously is Jesus Christ came. And those that are God's people now are born again. So we're already forgiven for all our sins. We're already forgiven for all our sins, past, present, and future. But we can get, you know, screwed up and we can miss the blessings of God. Or we can get down on ourselves and think God doesn't love us. Or we can think God's trying to punish us. All that stuff is a lie from hell. Right? That's a lie from hell. God only wants to bless us. He only wants to deliver us. He only wants to take care of us. In chapter 2, verse 13, it says, for God, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. God works in each and every born-again believer. Everybody that has his Holy Spirit. And that the main thing of that Spirit is it's to direct the heart of man. It's to direct the heart of man to do the will of God. You know, and when we're not doing the will of God, God is crying out, don't be stupid. Do my will. I want to bless you. You know, and sometimes our sense knowledge takes us in the opposite direction, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Our sense knowledge says, well, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that, or that's going to be hard, or that's no fun. You know, all those kind of things. But we can be assured that whatever God's will is, that is the absolute best for our lives. Verse 14, do all things without mutterings and disputings. That's hard for some people. Probably all people at times, you know? Because we can be whiners and complainers, can't we? If I was doing the translation, I would go, do all things without whining and complaining or bitching.
Bitching and moaning.
bitching and moaning, yeah. That ye may be blameless and harmless. That, what's the purpose of all this? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights of the world. When we do God's word, we shine. You know, when we are doing God's will, we shine. When we speak God's word, we shine as lights. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And that gives you Paul's purpose, you know, so that, you know, I didn't run in vain, that I can rejoice in the day of Christ because you did what you were supposed to do. What a great thing. Let's go again to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 3. Is that correct? Chapter 2, right? I said chapter 2? Yeah. Verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So this is a statement, or it's saying something that is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, Jesus Christ is our personal Savior, but God is the Savior overall. God is the Savior because he sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior, right? So it's kind of like if you were in a boat and you fell overboard and somebody threw you a life preserver. The life preserver saved you, but the Savior would be the guy that threw the life preserver. Well, God threw us a life preserver, Jesus Christ. So this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. That is a purpose of God, right? That's, again, going back to the original purpose, the overall purpose of God and God's word, to deliver mankind, to save mankind. God's will and desire is for all men to be saved. Now, not all men are going to be saved, are they?
No.
Because all men aren't going to believe. But that should be our desire, too. Our desire should be that all men be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. Now, people can be saved, and you can say, okay, well, here's the truth. And they say, well, I don't want to know that. Well, that's on them, right? Or you witness to somebody that needs to be saved, and they don't want to be saved, or they don't want to believe. Well, that's on them too, right? Our responsibility is to speak the truth, to tell people about Jesus Christ and God and his word. And then it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. What a great thing. God would have all men to be saved. That is his desire. That is his purpose. And to come unto a knowledge of the truth. And that should be our desire and our purpose also. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. We shine as lights when we do God's will, when we speak God's word. In chapter 26 of Acts, verse 13, it says, this is where Paul is speaking to King Agrippa. What a great name, King Agrippa. And he's telling him about how he got born again. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. You know, he was on the road to Damascus, and this bright light showed above the brightness of the sun. That's a pretty crazy statement in itself, isn't it? The light that showed was above the brightness of the sun. Because you can't even look directly at the sun, can you? Because if you do, you'll burn your corneas and whatever. Shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me. You know, and, you know, if you study this, the other guys heard noise, but they didn't hear and understand what was being said. Only Paul, that voice was speaking unto him, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this, what?
Purpose.
To make thee a minister and witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So Jesus Christ is saying to Paul, I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith or believing that is in me. You know, and that's what we do when we speak the word of God to people, when we tell people about God and about Jesus Christ. We open their eyes and it can turn them from darkness to light. And boy, there's so much darkness in the world today, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Everywhere you turn. And when you see the light of God's word, it's just incredible. And it turns people from Satan unto God, you know, and people don't even realize that they're serving Satan or Satan controls their life. They don't even know. They don't have a clue. They think it's, you know, what's the, you ever see the movie, The Usual Suspects? And he says, you know, the great lie of the devil is to convince everybody he doesn't exist. Well, we know that from the word. That's his great lie, that people don't believe he exists. He doesn't affect them. And that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance, you know, among them that are sanctified by believing. What a great thing. You and I may not turn the world upside down necessarily like Paul did or some other people, but we may turn somebody's life right side up. You know, and if you just happen to get that opportunity, that privilege, that honor, that joy to change one person's life and bring them to the truth of God's word, it is the most magnificent thing in the world. You know, I remember, and my wife gets so excited about babies. She loved every baby she had and every grandchild. She's just like, she can't help herself, you know? Well, that's what it's like when you get somebody born again. You know, it's like you have a new baby. It's so cool. It's so great to see their lives change, to see them go from darkness to light, to from serving Satan to serving God. What a great thing. What a glorious thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 15, it says, and that he, speaking of Christ, died for all, that they, you know, showing a purpose, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So again, you know, a purpose. We saw before, our whole purpose of life is to respect, be in awe of God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of life. Here it says that when we believe in Christ, he died for us, so henceforth we should live for him. That's a great purpose. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. You know, the apostles knew him in the flesh on earth, but now none of us know Jesus Christ in the flesh, right? We only know him because of the word of God and because of God's spirit within us, which is Christ in us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if he's born again, he is a new creature or a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things by God, it says are of God or by God, who hath reconciled us by Christ, the word Jesus is not in the text, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. Wow, that's pretty cool. To be reconciled to God through Christ, to Reconcile means to change from enmity to friendship, to reconcile. With regard to God and man, God extends an invitation by grace by the way of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for sin, so that we have that invitation and we can accept it. And then we are, there's no more enmity between us and God. That's what the reconciling there means. So that's a pretty great thing. We are fully equipped with his word to carry out what the purposes of God are. Let's go to Psalm 107. Everybody knows this verse. Well, maybe you do. It says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And this has to do, the context is, when Israel was in the Exodus and they were getting bitten by snakes and God sent his word and they got healed, right? And he delivered them from their destructions. Well, God's word is healing. When he sends his word, he heals. He's always trying to help us, deliver us, keep us safe, bless us, prosper us. Whatever he can do for us, he wants to do. That's what he does. That's what he is. He's a God that loves us. Let's go to Romans 8. I would say read Proverbs 4 sometime. It's pretty cool. And it tells you about how God desires to bless and take care of us, or takes care of his people. In chapter 8, verse 32, it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, he paid the greatest price. Why wouldn't he give us everything else? He just wants to bless us. He just wants to take care of us. But his purposes are our purposes. God's purpose is to save mankind. Once we're born again and saved, then God's desire is that we walk with him, that we shine his lights in the world. And as we do that, he's going to equip us in every way that we need to be equipped so that we can live for him and glorify him. So God's purposes should be our purposes. So Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for keeping us and watching over us, for loving us the way you do, for how you bless us and do your best for us. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, and how you sent him so that all we have to do is believe and we get your spirit within us so that you can work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. We thank you, Father, for your son and the great sacrifice he made and how we can be thankful and appreciative all the time, how we should always be thankful. Like you say in Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. So we're thankful to you today, God, and we're thankful all the time for all you do for us in every way. And we just thank you, God, for just loving us and allowing us to be your children. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.